This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
644, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Somebody texted in and said, why do you always talk about President Trump and you didn't talk about Biden? Well, because Biden didn't do anything. Remember, you didn't know where Joe Biden was. You didn't know if he was awake. You didn't know if he knew what day it was. You didn't know what room he was walking into. I don't know if he knew what room he was walking into. Remember the infamous debate in June, I think it was, of 2024, where Donald Trump said candidly, I don't know what he's saying, and I don't know if he knows what he's saying. Biden never did anything. President Trump does stuff every day with executive orders. I get them emailed to me constantly, and that's why we're going to talk about that later on, about the executive orders that he's issuing and some of the nomenclature, the wording of executive orders is in bring common sense and subjective terms like that. And when it comes to executive orders and things of law, I don't think you can have words like common sense or everybody knows or one would believe. And it just that's not the way law works. Anyway, let's move on. Talk with Jan Moeller now, our guest executive director of Invest in Louisiana, to talk about some cuts to Medicaid and SNAP or proposed cuts. How you doing, Jan?
Great, Tommy. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Thanks for taking the time. Are we talking about cuts or proposed cuts?
Well, right now they are proposed cuts. And as things stand, you know, Congress is just getting working on the budget. But right now there's a budget resolution that has passed the House of Representatives that would cut almost $1 trillion from the Medicaid program and would also cut money from food assistance. I think about $200 billion from food assistance.
Let me go, certainly they're being threatened. Yeah, let me go slow here, Jan, if I can. So take me through the process, if you will. So it's passed the House committee or the entire House?
It's a House budget resolution. Okay. And that is a resolution that basically just sets broad parameters for what can go in the budget, but the actual budget bill hasn't passed at all, and that's where the rubber meets the road. So right now, all that's happened is Congress has signaled its intent to pass a budget, and they give each committee kind of spending goals. But in all practical terms, the House of Representatives is on record as wanting to cut about $880 billion from the Medicaid program over 10 years.
Now, I'm not trying to get you to do Schoolhouse of Rock or teach civics, but I think the process is important. And again, as I always say, Jan, I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but having played golf for money, I can tell you that's where most of the cheating goes on, is in the weeds, right? So when
Absolutely.
You say a House budget resolution, the committees get together, and then somehow these people, men and women, meet and say, this is what we want the budget to look like, so this is the resolution that we're going to pass. And from this point, what happens?
Well, then they have to pass the actual budget. And what President Trump is talking about doing is passing, you know, you've heard him talk about one big, beautiful bill. Mm-hmm. And this is going to get in the weeds, Tommy, but there's
again, that's where most of the cheating goes in. Go ahead.
There's a process called budget reconciliation that can only be used in certain circumstances. And why reconciliation is important is because it can bypass if the bill does certain things, it can bypass the Senate filibuster. As you know, Tommy, the filibuster rule in the Senate means that most bills need 60 out of 100 votes to pass, not 50 or 51 votes. And so the president is and congressional leaders hope to use reconciliation to pass a budget that cuts or extends and builds on the tax cuts that passed in the first Trump administration, and then also makes a whole bunch of cuts. And so that bill is expected to pass sometime, or if it passes, sometime later this year, because there's no practical way that the president can get 60 votes for his agenda, because there just aren't enough Democrats who, of course, are going to vote for this.
The only reason I wanted to go into all of that was the likelihood of this happening before we talk about the effects of it. So if, for example, $880 billion is cut from Medicaid spending, what would that look like in Louisiana?
Well, frankly, it would be devastating in Louisiana, and it would be devastating for patients who depend on the Medicaid program. About one in three Louisianans get their health coverage from the Medicaid program. Medicaid serves people with low incomes or disabilities and elderly people in nursing homes. So if the federal government cuts that money, then the state is going to have to cut either eligibility or payments. It means people, frankly, are going to lose their health care, but it also means that hospitals, doctors, clinics, pharmacies, all of the private health care providers that participate in the program, that deliver the care, and that receive this money are going to be hurting. And so I think you're going to see not just ripple effects in health, but you're also going to see serious impacts on the state economy, which, you know, this is almost a $20 billion program in Louisiana. And if that money goes away, then local economies. And I mean, Medicaid has a fiscal impact in every corner of Louisiana.
So what you're saying, and we can pick it up here after the break, is it's $20 billion of business being conducted. It's health-related business, but it's $20 billion of business being conducted that's going to go away. Accurate?
Absolutely. And we think of this as a government program, but people need to understand that this is money that goes to private health care providers, by and large.
And people that code the insurance forms, and people that work in the doctor's offices, et cetera, accurate?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll pick it up. We come back. 651, 9 till 7. Traffic now, WWL. 656, Tommy Tucker, 4 till 7. Talking to Jan Moeller, Executive Director of the Invest in Louisiana, talking about what Medicaid cuts and SNAP cuts could look like. So let's talk about the cuts to, you talked about Medicaid, and what was the other one? $880 billion to Medicaid. What about $200 billion
to SNAP?
SNAP, yeah. Talk about that, if you will, please.
Sure. Well, SNAP is the program that I think most people know as food stamps. It stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and it's the other big federal benefit program that goes to, you know, people in every state, and it helps mostly working families afford to put food on the table. And kind of just like Medicaid, it's one of those programs. Obviously, the people who receive it, they get food that allows them and their families to eat. But it also plays a huge role in the bottom line of grocery stores, farmers markets. It supports farmers that make the food, that grow the food. So this is a program that we think about it as a benefit program for people who need a little help making ends meet. But it also plays a major role in the economy in every region of the state, every region of the country. So if you cut SNAP, nobody's talking about eliminating the program, you're also cutting into the bottom lines of a lot of people who make and sell food to the public.
When it comes to, I think people, so, you know, look, everybody's got an anecdotal story about somebody that went and you know, for maybe it's anecdotal, maybe it's just an urban legend. I don't know. Or they heard it and they repeat it. They know a guy who knew a guy that got ribeye steaks and put them back, or got dog food and food stamps wouldn't pay for it, so they bought ribeye steaks. Well, I'll use my food stamps for this. Or they got ribeye steaks and then got into a brand new Cadillac and drove off. Those are the tropes that you hear about food stamps. Let's just take a, okay, for people that believe that is the norm, and it's not, but let's just imagine, for example, that this goes away, this aid for SNAP. What's going to happen in Louisiana? What would it look like to people, to families, et cetera? And then what would be the effect of that?
Well, we know Louisiana struggles with hunger more than just about any other state. You know, the USDA calls it food insecurity. So we know that if you want to catch, if you're trying to catch a few bad apples, let's assume that they exist. I think you're right. It's mostly an urban trope. You're also going to trap a lot of families, single moms, people who work but don't make a lot of money. You're going to make it harder for people to put food on the table. But again, you're also going to hurt a whole lot of small businesses, medium-sized business. We're talking Albertsons and Walmarts, but also that corner grocery store that depend on these dollars. And if anybody thinks it's easy to cheat the government and get these benefits, go on the state's website and look at the hoops that you have to jump through to qualify for SNAP. There are already hurdles in front of people who want to get on this program. They monitor this carefully. And so this is not a program that is riddled with fraud, but it is a program that helps people put food on the table so that they and their kids can eat.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate your time and the insight. Jan Moeller, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana. We'll be back.